BBC World Theatre presents Valentinian, a tragedy by John Fletcher, first produced about the year 1610. The leading parts are played by Anthony Jacobs as Valentinian, Howard Marion Crawford as Maximus, and Francis de Wolfe as Aesius, with music by Christopher Whelan. The play has been edited for radio by Raymond Rakes, who introduces his own production.
I expect you used to think, I know I did, that the playwrights Beaumont and Fletcher were inseparable, and that all the 52 plays attributed to them were written by them both. But it now seems that only 8 or 9 plays had their joint authorship, that Beaumont got married and left Fletcher, who was a prolific playwright and earned his living at it. And Fletcher then wrote 15 plays on his own and about 22 in collaboration with other writers, including one with Shakespeare, King Henry VIII. Now, the play you're going to hear, Valentinian, is Fletcher's tragic masterpiece. And it hasn't been performed as Fletcher wrote it since the days of King James I. How then, you may well ask, did I come across it? Well, quite simply by reading a book that had for me an irresistible title. It was called The Irresistible Theatre by W. Bridges Adams. This book tells the story of British drama from the Conquest to the Commonwealth. And when it comes to Beaumont and Fletcher and starts to discuss Valentinian, you get phrases like, "This is an exemplary work for any dramatist who values craftsmanship," and "The play grips because there is hardly a scene in it that is not rich in the opposition, suspense, and surprise that are the stuff of drama." Well, that was good enough for me, and I couldn't wait to get hold of a copy of Valentinian. I read it at a sitting and found all that Bridges Adams had said about it was true. It was eminently actable, urgently in need of revival, and if the living theatre had neglected it all these years that have passed since it was written in about 1614, then radio should give it a hearing, and particularly the first 3 acts, which as drama and poetry, in my humble opinion, equal anything that the age could produce, Shakespeare at his best only excepted, and far, far better than second-rate Shakespeare. The 4th and 5th acts are not so good, though I hope you won't notice this too much in my production. Here I've had to cut and rearrange a good deal, and all the time I've felt that they are not by Fletcher, but by someone else. No one will ever know for certain, I suppose, but then I came across something rather interesting in a book of about 1690 by a theatre historian called Gerard Langbane. To me, it explained everything. This is what he wrote. "I have either read or been informed that it was generally Mr. Fletcher's practice, after he had finished 3 acts of a play, to show them to the actors, and after they had agreed upon terms, he huddled up the 2 last without that proper care which was requisite." Now to the play itself, and this means forgetting that it was written in the year 1614 or thereabouts, and thinking back to the year 455, and the dissolute court of the Roman Emperor Valentinian III. You won't have much difficulty, I think, in imagining those days of the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, because our author, John Fletcher, has taken good care to fill his play with period atmosphere, and there's nothing Jacobean about it. Then we have Christopher Whelan's highly evocative music to suggest the decadence of the period, and also to supply settings to 3 of Fletcher's inimitable songs. There was no one to rival Fletcher when it came to writing lyrics for singing. In this play, you will hear 3 of them. One last point. You will find that the plot of this play hinges on a gambling scene in which the Emperor Valentinian III cunningly induces one of his generals to stake and lose a ring his wife has given him. And the emperor then uses this ring to entice the general's virtuous 17-year-old wife to visit him. It all sounds very melodramatic, doesn't it? Will the chaste Lucina fall a victim to the emperor's lust? But let me reassure you, This story is historically true, and you can read all about it in chapters 35 and 36 of Gibbon's Decline and Fall. But perhaps you would prefer to stay listening to this play, The Tragedy of Valentinian by John Fletcher, with its setting in Rome, Anno Domini 455.
I never saw the like, Licinius.
Proculus, nor I. She's no more stirred. No more another woman. No more altered with any hopes or promises laid to her than I am with the motion of my own legs.
Do you see these jewels, Licinius? Here's half the wealth of Asia. You would think these pretty baits now.
Proculus, these are nothing to the full honors I propounded to her. I bid her think and be, and presently, whatever her ambition, what her dreams could more enlarge, what any precedent of any woman rising up to glory could give her more, nay, to be empress.
And cold at all these offers?
Cold as crystal. Never to be thawed.
I tried her further.
Kylax.
Good Kylax, welcome. You are a stranger yet in these designs, at least in Rome. Tell us, and tell us truth. Did you e'er know in all your course of practice, in all the ways of women you have run through, but I presume you have been brought up, Kylax, as we, to fetch and carry?
True, Licinius, I have so.
Did you, Kylax, I say again, in all this progress, ever discover such a piece of beauty, ever so rare a creature, and virtuous?
Virtuous to one man, to her husband only, and yet not 18, not of age, to know why she is virtuous.
I confess it freely, I never saw her fellow nor e'er shall. For all our Grecian dames, all I have tried, and sure I've tried 100. If I say 2, I speak within my compass. All these beauties, and all the constancy of all these faces, maids, widows, wives, of what degree or calling, I would undertake, and not sweat for it under £1,000, to lay on bedrid. But this wench staggers me.
And yet, good Kylax, you said but now you tried her further.
True, Proculus, I did. And so far that I think she is no woman, at least as women go now.
Why, what did you?
I offered that had she been but mistress of as much spleen as doves have I reached her. A safe revenge at all that ever hate her. The crying down forever of all beauties that may be thought come near.
That was pretty.
Oh, I never knew that way fail.
And she heard you?
Yes. As a sick man, he is annoyed. Oh, he that stands condemned is judgment. Let me perish. But if there can be virtue, if that name be anything but name and empty title, this woman has a god of virtue in her.
I would the emperor were that god.
She has in her all the contempt of glory and vain seeming of all the Stoics, all the truth of Christians and all their constancy. Modesty was made when she was first intended. When she blushes, it is the holiest thing to look upon, the purest temple of her sex that ever made nature a blessed founder.
Is there no way to take this phoenix?
None but in her ashes.
If she were fat, or any way inclining to ease or pleasure or affected glory, proud to be seen and worshipped where a venture. But on my soul, she is chaster than cold camphor.
I think so, too. For all the ways of woman, like a full sail, she bears against. I asked her after my many offers, walking with her, and her as many down denials, how, if the emperor, grown mad with love, should force her.
How? And what said she to that, Licinius?
She pointed to a Lucrece that hung by, and with an angry look that from her eyes shot vestal fire against me,
she departed.
This is the first wench I was ever posed in. Yet I have brought young loving things together this 32 year.
Why, Proculus, you'll bring our trade to disrepute.
Well, what's to be thought of?
The Emperor must know it.
If the women who now are with her should chance to fail too.
As 'tis, 10 to 1.
Why, what remains but new nets for the purpose?
Let us go consider them. And if all fail, this is the first quick eel that saved her tail.
You still insist upon that idol, honor. Can it renew your youth?
Can it add wealth that takes off wrinkles?
Can it draw men's eyes to gaze upon you in your age?
Can honor leave you the most respected person living?
Or can the common kisses of a husband, which to a sprightly lady is a labor, make you almost immortal?
Nay, Ardelia, I'll hear no more.
I say you shall love your husband, too.
We came not to make a monster of you.
You, Forbes. And you, Ardelia, are you women?
You'll find her so, and women you shall thank, too, if you have grace to make your use of us.
Fie on you both.
Alas, poor bashful lady. By my soul, had you no other virtue but your blushes, and I a man, I should run mad for those. How daintily they set her off. How sweetly.
Yes. Come, goddess, come. You move too near the earth. It must not be. A better orb stays for you.
Pray, leave me.
Oh, that were a sin, sweet lady, and a way to make us guilty of your melancholy. You must not be alone. In conversation, doubts are resolved, and what sticks near the conscience made easy and allowable.
Ye devil!
That you may one day bless for your damnation.
I charge you, in the name of chastity, tempt me no more.
Oh.
There is no wonder men defame our sex and lay the vices of all ages on us, when such as you shall bear the name of women.
Nay!
If ever in your lives you heard of goodness, though many regions offers men hear thunder, if ever anything were constant in you, you would run from one another to repentance, and from your guilty eyes drop out those sins that make you blind and beasts.
The lady speaks well. A sign of fruitful education.
Why do you say that, Forber?
The wench is listening.
This lady was ordained to bless the empire. And, Forber, we may both give thanks for her.
Nay, Ardelia, how mean you?
If anything redeem the emperor from his wild flying courses, this is she. She has the empire's cause in hand, not love's. There lies the main consideration for which she is chiefly born.
She finds that point stronger than we can tell her. Believe it, I look by her means for a reformation, and such a one in such a rare way carried that all the world shall wonder.
'Tis true, dear Forber.
Do you mark, too, Ardelia, which is a noble virtue, how she blushes? Mm-hmm. What a flowing modesty runs through her when we but name the emperor.
Mark it, Forber, yes. And admire it, too. For she considers, though she be fair as heaven and virtuous as holy truth, yet to the emperor. And when her country's cause commands affection, she knows obedience is the key of virtues. Then fly the blushes out like Cupid's arrows. And though the tie of marriage to her lord would fain cry, "Stay, Lucina," yet the cause and general wisdom of the prince's love makes her find surer ends and happier.
Her tartness unto us, too.
That's a wise one.
I like it. It shows a rising wisdom that chides all common fools who dare inquire what princes would have private.
What a lady shall we be blessed to serve?
Go, get you from me both.
Oh, faith.
You are your purse's agents, not the prince's. Why should you two, that happily have been as chaste as I am, after that angel age, turn mortal devils? study no more to be ill-spoken of.
Madam, you are so excellent in all, and when you come to anger, 'tis so noble, that for mine own part I could still offend to hear you angry.
She were no mistress for the world's great lord. Could she not frown?
I despise you, and all the nets you have pitched to catch my virtues like spiders' webs I sweep away before me.
Madam!
Go, tell the emperor, you have met a woman that neither his own person, which is godlike, the world he rules, nor what that world can purchase, nor all the glories subject to a Caesar, the honors that he offers for my body, the hopes, the gifts, the everlasting flatteries, nor anything that's his and apt to tempt me, no, not to be the mother of the empire and queen of all the holy fires he worships, can make a whore of.
You mistake us, lady.
Yet tell him that I have heard his knaves and you his matrons, fit nurses for his sins, which, gods forgive me, but ever to be leaning to his folly, or to be brought to love his lust, assure him, and from her mouth whose life shall make it certain, I never can. I have a noble husband, pray tell that too, yet a noble name, a noble family, and last, a conscience. Thus much for your answer. For yourselves, ye have lived the shame of women. Die the better.
Oh, she's gone.
Aye.
What's now to do, Ardelia?
Even as she said, to die. For there's no living here, and women thus. I'm sure for us two.
Nothing stick upon her.
We have lost a mass of money.
Well, Dame Virtue, yet you may halt if good luck serves.
Worms take her. She's almost spoiled our trade.
So godly. This is ill breeding, Forber.
If the women should have a longing now to see this monster and she convert them all.
That may be, Forber. But if it be, I'll have the young men gelded. Come, let's go think. She must not escape us thus. There is a certain season, if we hit, that women may be ridden without a bit.
That they fall off so fast from this wild man, when, under our allegiance be it spoken, the world's weight groans beneath him.
We are but subjects, Maximus. Obedience to what is done and grief for what is ill done is all we can call ours.
Yet where lives virtue now, honor, discretion, wisdom? Who are called and chosen to the steering of the empire but bawds and singing girls? Oh, my Aetius, the glory of a soldier, and the truth of men made up for goodness sake, like shells grow to the ragged walls for want of action.
No more, my worthy Maximus. Though these be truths, and though these truths would ask a reformation, yet remember this. The hearts of princes are like the temples of the gods. Pure incense burns ever there. We must not put it out, because the priests that touch those sweets are wicked. We dare not, dearest friend, nay more, we cannot. Whilst we consider who we are and how, to what laws bound, much more to what lawgiver. While majesty is made to be obeyed and not inquired into...
Yet, my noble friend, weigh but thus much. Nor think I speak it with ambition, for by the gods I do not. Why, Aetius, why are we thus? Or how became thus wretched?
Oh, you'll fall again into your...
No, I will not. Or are we now no more the sons of Romans, no more the followers of their happy fortunes, but conquered Gauls or quivers for the Parthians? Why is this emperor, this man we honor, this god that ought to be?
You are too curious.
Give me leave. Why is this author of us?
I dare not hear you speak thus.
Be modest. Thus led away, thus vainly led away, and we behold us.
Oh.
Misconceive me not. I sow no danger in my words. But wherefore, and to what end are we, the sons of fathers famous and fast to Rome? Why are their virtues stamped in the dangers of a thousand battles, their honors time outdaring? I think for our example.
You speak nobly.
Why are we seeds of these, then, to shake hands with bawds and base informers, kiss discredit and court her like a mistress?
Well,
pray your leave yet. Oh, you'll say the emperor is young and apt to take impression from his pleasures. It may be. But why do these, the people call his pleasures, exceed the moderation of a man? Nay, to say justly, friend, why are they vices? And such a shake our worths with foreign nations.
You search the sore too deep. And I must tell you, in any other man, this had been treason, and so rewarded. Although I constantly believe you honest, yet take heed, worthy Maximus. All ears hear not with that distinction, mind you. Say the prince, as I may well believe, seems vicious. Who justly knows 'tis not to try our honors? Or say he be an ill prince? Are we, therefore, fit fires to purge him? No, my dearest friend. The elephant is never won with anger, nor must that man that would reclaim a lion take him by the teeth.
I pray, mistake me not.
Our honest actions and the light that breaks like morning from our service, chaste and blushing, is that that pulls a prince back. Then he sees, and not till then truly repents his errors, when subjects' crystal souls are glasses to him.
My ever-honored friend, I'll take your counsel. The emperor appears. I leave you to him, and as we both affect him, may he flourish.
Where is the Greek I sent to speak to her? Here, noble majesty. Kylax.
What is your news?
No news as yet, but we have not done trying.
Mine own head be my helper. These are fools.
Kylax, bid Maximus come to me.
Her husband, did you say?
Her husband, Kylax.
Be gone, then.
As your grace pleases. I see my general Aesius would crave a word with me. Let all the court withdraw. How now, Aesius? Are the soldiers quiet?
Better, I hope so, than they were.
They are pleased, I hear, to censure me extremely for my pleasures. Shortly they'll fight against me.
God's defend, sir. And for their censures, they are such shrewd judges. A donative of 10 sesterces I'll undertake shall make them ring your praises more than they sang your pleasures.
I believe thee. Art thou in love, Aesius, yet?
Oh, no, sir. I am too coarse for ladies. My embraces, that only am acquainted with alarums, would break their tender bodies.
Never fear it, they are stronger than you think. My empress swears thou art a lusty soldier. A good one, I believe thee.
All that goodness is but your grace's creature.
Tell me truly, for thou durst tell me.
Anything concerns you that's fit for me to speak and you to pardon.
What say the soldiers of me? And the same words, mince them not, good Aesius, but deliver the very forms and tongues they talk withal.
I'll tell your grace, but with this caution, you be not stirred. For should the gods live with us, give them but drink, they would censure them too.
Forward?
Well, then, to begin, they say you sleep too much, by which they judge your majesty too sensual, apt to decline your strength to ease and pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do not sleep, you drink too much, from which they fear suspicion first, then ruin. And when you neither drink nor sleep, you wench much, which they affirm first breaks your understanding, then takes the edge off honor, makes us seem that are the ribs and rampires of the empire, fencers and beaten fools, and so regarded. But I believe them not. For where these truths, your virtue can correct them.
They speak plainly.
They say, moreover, since your grace will have it, for they will talk their freedoms, though the sword were at their throat, that of late time, like Nero, and with the same forgetfulness of glory, you have got a vein of fiddling, so they term it.
Some drunken dreams, Aesius.
So I hope, sir.
Oh, what sins next? For I perceive they have no mind to spare me.
Nor hurt you or my soul, sir. But such people, nor can the power of man restrain it, when they are full of meat and ease, must prattle.
Forward.
I have spoken too much, sir.
I have all.
It fits not your ears should hear their vanities. No profit can justly rise to you from their behavior, unless you were guilty of those crimes.
It may be I am so. Therefore, forward.
I have ever learned to obey.
No more apologies.
They grieve besides, sir, to see the nations, whom our ancient virtue, with many a weary march and hunger conquered, with loss of many a daring life subdued, fall from their fair obedience, and even murmur to see the warlike eagles mew their honors in obscure towns that used to prey on princes. They cry for enemies and tell the captains, the fruits of Italy are luscious. Give us Egypt or sandy Africa to display our valors there, where our swords may make us meet and danger digest our well-got vans. Here our weapons and bodies that were made for shining brass are both unedged and old with ease and women. Then the soldiers, tired with a weary march, they tell their wounds and glory in those scars that make them lovely. And sitting where a camp was, like sad pilgrims, they reckon up the times and living labors of Julius or Germanicus, and wonder that Rome, whose turrets were once topped with honors, can now forget the custom of her conquests. And then they blame your grace and say, who leads us? Shall we stand here like statues? Were our fathers the sons of lazy Moors? Our princes, Persians, nothing but silks and softness? Curses on them that first taught Nero wantonness and blood, Tiberius doubts, Caligula all vices. For from the spring of these succeeding princes...
Well,
thus they talk, sir.
Why do you hear these things?
Why do you do them? I take the gods to witness. With more sorrow and more vexation hear I these reproaches than were my life dropped from me through an hourglass.
Belike, then, you believe them, or at least are glad they should be so. Take heed. You were better build your own tomb and run into it living than dare a prince's anger.
Now, if my life be pleasing to you, take it. Upon my knees, I offer up my sword. Death, I see, looks through your eyes. I am marked for slaughter, and know the telling of this truth has made me a man clean lost to the world. I embrace it. Only my last petition, sacred Caesar, is I may die a Roman.
Rise, my friend still, and worthy of my love. Reclaim the soldiers. I'll study to do so upon myself, too. Go. Keep your command and prosper.
I thank your grace. Long life to Caesar!
The honesty of this Aesius, who is indeed the bulwark of my empire, has dived so deep into me that of all the sins I covet but this woman's beauty, with much repentance now I could be quit of, but she is such a pleasure, being good, that though I were a god, she'd fire my blood.
Your Majesty!
Well, Kylax, well.
Lord Maximus attends your grace.
I'll meet him in the gallery. Tell him so. Bid Licinius and Proculus meet us there, and we will play at dice. Nay, ye shall set the dice, for 'tis not just I should neglect my luck when 'tis so prosperous. Come, Kylax, set, I say.
If I have anything to set, your grace, but clothes or good conditions, let me perish. You have all my monies.
And mine.
What, Proculus?
Yeah, and mine too.
Licinius too? Then, good Lord Maximus, set you, I say.
Then I must needs send home for my...
Oh, 'tis already late, and staying will be tedious. My luck will vanish ere your money comes.
If we set our horses...
Yes.
Shall we redeem them?
Fairly. Set anything.
Then have at my villa.
Your villa, Proculus. The orchard, too.
And please, your grace.
Have at 'em. They're lost.
Why, farewell, fig trees.
Now, who sets? Licinius?
My horses, then.
The dappled Spaniard.
He's
mine.
He is so.
Licinius, your short horse is soon carried.
So it seems, Lord Maximus. So may your mare be too, if luck serve.
Huh? What mean you?
Nothing, my lord. But pox on my damn fortune.
Now, come, Maximus, you are not wont to flinch.
By heavens, I tell you, I've lost all my money.
Then that ring on your finger.
Oh, good sir, this was not given to lose.
Some love token? Set it, I say.
No, I beg you, sir.
How strange and curious you are grown of toys.
Shall I redeem it?
Well, if so, I win it when you please. Tomorrow or next day, as you will, I cannot. Only for luck's sake.
There, sir. Now, will you throw?
Why, then, have at it fairly. The last stake. 'Tis mine.
Your grace is ever fortunate. There's my ring. Tomorrow, and be your pleasure, sir, I'll pay the price on't.
Tomorrow you shall have this ring without price, sir. But this day 'tis my victory. Good Maximus, now I bethink myself. Go to Aesius and bid him muster all the cohorts presently. They mutiny for pay, I hear. And be you assistant to him. When you know their numbers, ye shall have monies for them. And above, something to stop their tongues withal.
I will, sir. And gods preserve you in this mine still.
Shortly I'll see him march myself.
Gods ever keep you.
Now, Kynax, Proculus, Licinius, to what end do you think this ring shall serve now? For your fellows only know by rote, as birds record their lessons.
For the lady.
But how for her?
Oh, that we confess we know not.
Then pray for him that does. Kylax, fetch me a eunuch that never saw her yet.
I will, your grace.
And you, Proculus and Licinius, see the court made like a paradise.
We will, sir.
We will.
Full of fair shows and musics. All your arts, screw to the highest. For my main piece is now a-doing.
Yes, Lysias, the eunuch.
Long life to mighty Caesar.
I must use you, Lysias. Come, let's walk in, and then I'll show you all. If women may be frail, this wench shall fall.
What ails our lady that of late she never cares for company?
No, not Claudia, unless it be that company causes cuckolds.
That were a childish fear.
What were those ladies came to her lately from the court?
The same, Marcelina. Some grave instructors on my life. They looked for all the world like old hatched hilts.
Tis true, Claudia, for here and there, and yet they painted well, too. One might discover where the gold was worn their iron ages.
If my judgment fail not, they have been sheathed like rotten shit.
Maybe.
For if you mark their rudders, they hang weakly.
They have passed the line, belike. Wouldst live, Claudia, till thou wert such as they are.
Oh, chimney pieces. Now heaven have mercy on me and young men. I had rather make a drollery till 30, while I were able to endure a tempest and bear my fights out bravely. I would willingly live, Marcelina, not for barnacles bred in my sides.
Thou art in the right, Claudia, for who would live whom pleasures had forsaken? But were there not men came hither too?
Brave fellows. I fear me boards of 5 of the pound.
How know you?
They gave me great lights to it.
Take heed, Claudia.
Let them take heed. The spring comes on.
To me now they seemed as noble visitants.
You are deceived. They showed to be directly court crabs that creep aside away for their living. I knew them by the breeches that they begged last.
Peace, my lady comes. What may that be with her?
A summoner that cites her to appear.
No more of that, wench.
Madam, what answer shall I to your husband give?
My husband, pray tell him. I am subject to his will.
Why weep you, madam? Excellent lady, there are none will hurt you.
I do beseech you, tell me, sir.
What, lady?
Serve you the emperor?
I do.
In what place?
In his chamber, madam.
Do you serve his will, too?
In fair and just commands.
Are you a Roman?
Yes, noble lady, and a Mantuan.
What office bore your parents?
One was praetor.
Take heed, then, how you stain his reputation.
Why, worthy lady?
I charge you, if you know aught in this message, but what honesty, the trust and fair obedience of a servant may well deliver. Yet take heed and help me.
Madam, I am no broker nor base procurer of men's lusts. Your husband prayed me to do this office. I have done it. It rests in you to come or no.
You appear so worthy and to all my sense so honest. And this ring is such a certain sign you've brought me that I believe.
Why should I cozen you? Or were I bribed to do this villainy, can money prosper, or the fool that takes it, when such a virtue falls?
You speak well, sir. Pray tell my lord, I have received his token, and by this ring I will not fail to meet him.
Lying villain and a traitor, and by this sword you'll make me dangerous.
Oh, my lord, I am a Roman and a soldier.
A Roman and a soldier, sayest thou, Captain Pontius? Then how darest thou pluck the soldiers to sedition and sow rebellion in them?
Hear me, noble general.
Hear thee? No, by this sword I...
Answer yourself, Aesius. Are you a man?
I am true-hearted, Maximus, and if this villain Pontius lives, we are dishonored.
Well, hear him what he can say.
That's the way to pardon him. I am so easy in nature that if he speak but humbly, I forgive him.
I do beseech you, noble general.
Has found the way already. Maximus, give me room. One stroke, and if he escape me then, his mercy.
I do not call you noble, that I fear you. I never cared for death. I know you are my general, and by their great prerogative may kill. But do it justly then.
He argues with me. By heaven, a made-up rebel.
Pray consider, Aesius, what certain grounds you have for killing him.
What grounds? Did I not take him, preaching to the soldiers how lazily they lived? And what dishonor it was to serve a prince so full of women? Those were his very words, friend Maximus.
Ah, words that were rashly spoke. Which was an error, a great one, Pontius. Yet from him that hungers for wars and brave employment might be pardoned.
Should you protect him, Maximus? Go to, it shows not honest.
Thank me not, for that shows worse, Aesius. All your friendship and that pretended love you lay upon me is like a favor you do your slave today and tomorrow. Hang him. Was I your bosom friend for this?
Forgive me. The nature of my zeal and for my country makes me sometimes forget myself. For know, though I must strive to be without my passions, I am no god. For you, Sir Pontius, whose infection has spread itself like poison through the army and cast a killing fog on fair allegiance, first thank this noble gentleman you had died else. Next, from your place and honor of a soldier, I here seclude you.
What, my lord?
And while Aesius holds a reputation, at least command, you bear no arms for Rome, sir.
Against her I never shall.
Oh.
May I speak yet?
Hear him.
The condemned man is yet that privileged to speak, my lord. Law were not equal else.
Pray hear him, Aesius.
Speak.
'Tis true, my lord, you took me tired with peace. My words almost as ragged as my fortunes. 'Tis true, I told the soldiers whom we served, and then bewailed we had an emperor led from us by the flourishes of fencers.
Oh.
I blamed him too for women.
What think you, Maximus? Were these words to be spoken by a captain, one that should give example?
'Twas too much.
My lord, I did not woo them from the empire, nor bid them turn their daring steel against Caesar. The gods forever hate me if that motion were part of me. You have seen me, and you, my lord, do something for my country, and both beheld the wounds I gave and took, not like a backward traitor.
All this language makes but against you, Pontius. You are cast, and by mine honor and my love to Caesar, by me shall never be restored. In my camp I will not have a tongue, though to himself dare talk but near sedition. As I govern, all shall obey, and when they want, their duty and ready service shall redress their needs, not prating what they would be.
Thus I leave you. Yet shall my prayers still, although my fortunes must follow you no more, be still about you. Gods give you where you fight the victory. You cannot cast my wishes.
Alas, poor Pontius.
Come, my lord Maximus, now to the field again.
Maximius. Proculus, are you there?
Anna Kylax, what news?
Kylax, what news?
She's come. Is the music placed well, Licinius?
Excellent.
Proculus, you receive her in the great chamber at her entrance.
Let me alone.
And you hear, Licinius, one word more.
Well?
Are the jewels and those ropes of pearl laid in the way she passes?
Take no care, man.
Here comes the Emperor now.
What? Is she come?
She is, sir, but 'twere best your grace were seen last to her.
So I mean. Keep the court empty, Proculus.
'Tis done, sir.
Be not too sudden with her.
Good, your grace, retire and man yourself. Let us alone. We are no children this way.
I know it well. And leave you.
Do you hear, Licinius?
Well?
'Tis necessary that her waiting women be cut off in the lobby by some ladies. They'd break the business else.
'Tis true. They shall.
Remember your place at the entry, Proculus.
I warrant you.
She enters now.
Who waits there? The Emperor calls for his chariots. He will take the air.
Claudia, Marcelina, did you hear? I'm glad I am come in such a happy hour when he'll be absent. This takes away a little fear.
Noble madam, you are welcome to the court, most nobly welcome. You are a stranger, lady.
I desire so.
A wondrous stranger here, nothing so strange, and therefore need a guide, I think.
I do, sir. And that a good one, too.
My service, lady, shall be your guide in this place. But pray you tell me, are you resolved a courtier?
No, I hope so.
You are, sir?
Yes, my fair one.
So it seems you're so ready to bestow yourself. Pray, what might cost those breeches?
Why, would you wear them? Madam, you have a witty woman.
Two, sir, or else you underbuy it.
Claudia, Marcelina, leave your talking. But is my lord here, sir, I beseech you?
He is, sweet lady, and must take this kindly, exceeding kindly of you, wondrous kindly. You come so far to visit him. I'll guide you.
Whither?
Why, to your lord.
Is it so hard, sir, to find him in this place without a guide? For I would willingly not trouble.
It will be so for you that are a stranger, nor can it be a trouble to do service to such a worthy beauty. And besides...
I see he will go with us.
Let him amble.
It fits not that a lady of your reckoning should pass without attendance.
I have two, sir.
I mean without a man. You'll see the Emperor.
Alas, I am not fit, sir.
You are well enough. He'll take it wondrous kindly. Hark in your ear.
Beauty such as yours.
You flatter. Good sir, no more of that.
Well, I tell you...
Will you go forward? Since I must be man. Pray keep your way, sir.
Cannot you man us too, sir?
Give me but time.
And you'll try all things.
So no, I'll make you no such promise.
If you do, sir, take heed you stand to it.
Wondrous merry ladies.
She's coming up the stairs. Spread perfumes there. Licinius, stand ready to discover all the jewels.
There you're not, Kylax. They are here.
Peace. She's almost on us. Now the music. Ah. And as this stirs her, let's set on, Licinius.
Trust me, Kylax.
Lysias, eunuch, sing thy song.
The last is spring is seen, golden yellow. Invite the view everywhere on every green, roses blushing as they blow, and enticing men to pull lilies whiter than the snow, woodbines of sweet. Red and pure. dressed white, dainty little love in white. Every woman, every maid cherries kissing as they grow, and inviting men to taste apples even ripe below, winding gently to the way.
Oh, those emblems and those bright blades, if not blocked, we die, die, die.
Lord, be here, for now I fear it. Well, ring. If thou be'st counterfeit or stolen, as by this preparation I suspected, thou hast betrayed thy mistress. Pray, sir, forward. I would fain see my lord.
But tell me, madam, first, how did you like the song?
I like the air well, but for the words, they were lascivious and overlight for ladies.
Madam, you are welcome to the court. Who waits? Attendance for this lady?
You mistake, sir. I come to see my husband on command, too. I were no courtier else.
That's all one, lady. Now you are here, you're welcome, and you shall be welcome.
Show it in what I came for, then, in leading me where my loved lord is, not in flattery.
I show it first in drawing back this curtain.
These jewels, sir, laid here to take?
Yes, for your lady, gentlewoman.
We had been doing else.
Meaner jewels would fit your worth.
And meaner clothes your body.
Well, what would you, lady? They are yours.
Nay, you may close the curtain. I have seen them, and none worth half my honesty.
Is it not pity, gentlemen, this lady should live alone and give such heavenly beauty only to walls and hangings?
Good sir, patience. Who you are, I know not. But I know you do my lord an injury to stay me, who, though you are the emperor's, yet dare tell you he keeps no wife for your ways.
Yet the emperor loves you, but too well. Hark in your ear.
God's defense, sir. I'd never like to trade worse. No more of that, sir.
You are grown the strangest lady. Yet hark you.
No, sir.
By heaven, 'tis true, I tell you, and you'll find it.
I'd rather find my grave. And so inform me.
Where is the stranger? Let us see the stranger.
Here's the ladies come to see you.
You are gone, then. I take it 'tis your cue.
Or rather, manners. You are better fitted, madam. We but tie you. Proculus, Licinius, come away.
We'll leave you for an hour, good lady.
And after bring your much-loved lord unto you.
Then I'll thank you.
You are a welcome woman.
Bless me, heaven, how did you find the way to court?
I know not, would I had never trod it.
Prithee, tell me, good noble lady, and would sweetheart love us, for we love thee extremely. Is not this place a paradise to live in?
To those people that know no other paradise but pleasure, that little I enjoy contents me better.
What? Heard you any music yet?
Too much.
Oh, you must not be thus froward. What? This gown is one of the prettiest, by my troth, Ardelia, I ever saw yet. 'Twas not to frown in, lady, you put this gown on when you came.
How do you?
Leave go of me, Ardelia.
Oh, alas, poor wretch, how cold it is.
Content you, I'm as well as may be, and as temperate, if you would let me be so. Where's my lord?
While your waiting women play you these jewels, we'll lead you to your lord. He's in the gallery.
We'll show you all the court, too.
Show me him, and you have showed me all I come to look on.
We'll be your guides. And as you go, we have some pretty tales to tell you, lady. Shall make you merry, too.
You come not here to be a sad Lucina.
Would I might not?
Come on. We'll be your guides.
Now,
the soft music. Proculus, Licinius, hark. The women by this time are warning of her. If she can hold out them, the emperor takes her to task. He is near her now. Hark, I hear him. Lucina?
Good, your grace. Where are my women, sir?
They are wise, beholding what you think scorn to look on, the court's bravery. Would you have run away so slyly, lady, and not have seen me?
I beseech your majesty, consider what I am, and whose.
I do so.
Believe me, I shall never make a whore, sir.
A friend you may, and to that man that loves you more than you love your virtue.
Sacred Caesar!
You shall not kneel to me, sweet.
Nay, look upon me, and if you be so cruel to abuse me, think how the gods will take it. Does this beauty afflict your soul? I'll hide it from you ever. Nay, more, I will become so leprous that you shall curse me from you. My dear lord has served you ever truly, fought your battles as if he daily longed to die for Caesar. Was never traitor, sir, nor ever tainted in all the actions of his life.
I know it.
His fame and family have grown together and spread together like two sailing cedars over the Roman diadem. Oh, let not, as you have any flesh that's human in you, the having of a modest wife decline him. Let not my virtue be the wedge to break him. Do not think you are lascivious. These wanton men belie you. You are Caesar, which is the father of the empire's honor. You are too near the nature of the gods to wrong the weakest of all creatures, women.
I dare not do it here. Rise, fair Lucina. I did but try your temper. You are honest, and with the commendations wait on that, I'll lead you to your lord and give you to him. Wipe your fair eyes. He that endeavors ill may well delay, but never quench his helm. Lucina? Lucina? Lucina!
Huh?
I shame to tell it. If there be any justice, we are villains and must be so rewarded.
If it be done, I take it 'tis no time now to repent it. Let's make the best of the trade. What think you, Proculus?
Now, vengeance, take it. Why should not he have settled on a beauty whose virtue stuck in a piece of tissue or won a ring might rule, or such a one that had a husband itching to be honorable and ground to get it? If he must have women and know a lay without them, why not those that know the mystery and are best able to play a game with judgment? such as Lucina is, grant they be won with long siege, endless travail, and brought to opportunity with millions, yet when they come to motion, their cold virtue keeps them like cakes of ice.
A good whore had saved all this, and happily as wholesome. Aye, and the thing once done as well thought of, too. But this same chastity, forsooth...
A pox on't. Why should not women be as free as we are?
They are, but not in open. And far freer. And the more bold you bear yourself, more welcome.
Lucina?
The Emperor. Licinius, procure us away. If we can repent, let's home and pray.
Be wise and save your honor. If you talk...
As long as there's motion in my body and life to give me words... I'll cry for justice!
Justice shall never hear you. I am justice.
Thou bitter bane of the Empire! Look upon me, and if thy guilty eyes dare see these ruins, thy wild lust hath laid level with dishonor. The sacrilegious raising of this temple, the mother of thy black sins, would have blushed at. Behold and curse thyself!
This prevails not, nor any agony you utter, lady. If I have done a sin, curse her that drew me. Curse the first cause, the witchcraft that abused me. Curse those fair eyes, and curse that heavenly beauty. And curse your being good, too.
Vainglorious thief! What restitution canst thou make to save me?
I'll ever love and honor you.
Thou canst not. For that which was mine honor, thou hast murdered. And can there be a love in violence?
You shall be only mine.
Call in your lady boards and gilded panders, and let them triumph too, and sing to Caesar. Lucina's fallen. The chaste Lucina's conquered. God, what a wretched thing has this man made me. For I am now no wife for Maximus. No company for women that are virtuous. No family I now can claim, nor country, nor name, but Caesar's whore. Oh, sacred Caesar, for that should be your title. With your empire, those fires that ever burn to beg you blessings, the people's adoration, fear of nations, mercy and star-like piety sent to you and from the gods themselves. To ravish women!
This helps not.
Where shall poor virtue live? Now I am fallen. What can your honors now an empire make me? But a more glorious whore!
A better woman. But if you will be blind and scorn it, who can help it? Come, leave these lamentations. They do nothing but make a noise. I am the same man still. Wear it to do again, therefore be wiser. By all this holy light, I should attempt it. You are so excellent and made to ravish. There were no pleasure in you else.
Villain!
So bred for man's amazement that my reason and every help to hold me right has left me. The god of love himself had been before me. Had he but eyes to see you? Tell me justly, how can I choose but her then? If you dare, be mine, and only mine. For you are so precious, I envy any other should enjoy you, almost look on you. And your daring husband shall know has kept an offering for the emperor too holy for his altars. More than myself, I'll make you.
No.
No. Then, if you will not be the mightiest, sit down with this, and silence, for which wisdom you shall have use of me, and much honor ever, and be the same you were, if you divulge it. No, I am far above the faults I do, and those I do I am able to forgive too. And where your credit in the telling of it may be with gloss enough suspected, mine is as mine own command shall make it. Princes, though they be sometimes subject to loose whispers, yet wear they two-edged swords for open censures.
Husband!
Your husband cannot help you, nor the soldiers. Your husband is my creature, they my weapons, and only where I bid them strike, I feed them.
Oh, God!
Nor can the gods be angry at this action. For as they made me greatest, so they mean me happiest, which I had never been without this pleasure. Consider. And farewell. You'll find your women at home before you. They have had some sport too, but are more thankful for it.
Destruction find thee! Now which way must I go? My honest house will shake to shelter me. My husband fly me. My family, because they are honest and desire to be so, must not endure me. Oh, my sad fortune. Is this the end of goodness? This the price of all my early prayers to protect me? Why then? I see there is no God but power, nor virtue now alive that cares for us, but what is either lame or sensual. How had I been thus wretched else?
Tishius, command the company that Pontius lost. Those are my orders, Maximus.
Orders, good Aetius, it will be obeyed. But what? My wife? Here?
Lucina weeping. This must be much offense.
Oh, now, sweetheart.
Maximus.
What make you here thus? Come, look up and tell me, why are you thus? Oh, my ring.
Oh, friend, I have found it. You are at court, sweet.
Yes. That ring brought me hither.
I have my fears, Aetius. Oh, my best friend, I am ruined. Go, Lucina. Already in thy tears I have read thy wrongs. Already found a Caesar. Go, Lucina. And if thou darest, outlive this wrong.
I dare not.
Is that the ring you lost?
That, Aetius. That cursed ring, myself and all my fortunes. Does please the emperor, my noble master, for all my services and dangers for him, to make me mine own pander? Was this justice?
Farewell forever, sir.
Ah, that's a sad saying. But such a one becomes you well, Lucina. And yet methinks we should not part so lightly. Our loves have been of longer growth, more rooted than the sharp word of one farewell can scatter. Kiss me. I find no Caesar here. These lips taste not of ravisher, in my opinion. Was it not so?
Yes.
I dare believe thee, for thou wert ever truth itself and sweetness. Indeed, she was Aetius.
So she is still.
Kiss me once more. Oh, my Lucina. Oh, my comfort.
I have seen enough to stagger my obedience.
Why wert thou chosen out to make a whore of? To me thou wert too chaste. Fall crystal fountains that ever feed your streams, you rising sorrows till you have wept your mistress into marble. Now, go forever from me.
Long farewell, sir. And as I have been loyal gods, think on me.
Aetius.
Maximus.
Am I alive or has a dead sleep seized me? It was my wife the emperor abused thus, and I must say I am glad I had her for him. Must I not, my Aetius?
I am stricken with such a stiff amazement that no answer can readily come from me. No comfort. Will you go home or go to my house?
Neither. I have no home. And you are mad, Aetius, to keep me company. I am a fellow mine own sword would forsake, not tied unto me. Ah, pander as a prince to what I'm fallen. By heaven, I dare do nothing.
You do better.
I am made a branded slave, Aetius, and yet I bless the maker. But death of my soul, must I endure this tamely? Must Maximus be mentioned for his tameness? And I have a child, too. What should I do, railing? I cannot mend myself. 'Tis Caesar did it, and what am I to him?
'Tis well considered. However you are tainted, be no traitor.
Oh, that thou wert not living and my friend.
Do you love me?
That's all I have to live on.
Then go with me. You shall not to your own house.
Nor to any. My griefs are greater far than walls can compass. And yet I wonder how it happens with me. I'm not dangerous. And my conscience, should I see the emperor, if he heat on it, I should not chide him for it. And an awe runs through me. I feel it sensibly that binds me to it. 'Tis in my heart now. There it sits and rules. And methinks 'tis a pleasure to obey it.
Keep that obedience still.
If a wife's loss for her abuse, much good may do the emperor. I'll make us bold with his wife if I can. Is a wife's loss, I say, more than the fading of a few fresh colors?
No more, Maximus, to one that truly lives.
I'll tell thee, friend. If my wife, for all this, should be a whore now, a kind of kicker out of sheets, 'twould vex me. Oh, for I am not angry yet. The emperor is young and handsome and a woman flesh. And may not these two couple without scratching?
Alas, my noble friend.
Oh, alas, not me. I am not wretched. There's no man miserable, but he makes himself so.
Will you walk yet?
Come. Come, she dare not die, friend. There's the truth on't. She knows the enticing sweets and delicacies of a young prince's pleasures. And I thank her. She's made a way for Maximus to rise by. Wilt not become me bravely? Why do you think she wept? Said she was ravished. You keep it here, and I'll discover to you.
Well?
Oh, she knows I love no bitten flesh, and out of that hope she might be from me, she contrived this knavery. Was it not monstrous, friend? Oh, God's my heart.
Would it would fairly break.
Methinks I am somewhat wilder than I was. And yet I thank the gods I know my duty.
Here comes her gentlewoman, Claudia.
Nay, nay, you may spare your tears. She's dead. She is so. Why? So it should be. How?
When first she entered into her house, after a world of weeping and blushing like the sunset as we saw her, dare I, said she, defile this house with whore in which his noble family has flourished, at which she fell and stirred no more. We robbed her.
No more of that. Be gone. Now, my Aetius, if thou wilt do me pleasure, weep a little. I'm so parched, I cannot.
Maximus.
Your example has brought the rain down now. Now lead me, friend, and as we walk together, let's pray together, truly. I may not fall from faith.
That's nobly spoken.
Was I not wild, Aetius?
Somewhat troubled.
Well, I felt no sorrow then. Now, I'll go with you, but do not name the woman. Gods, Lucina, take thee. For thou art even the best and worthiest lady.
Good sir, no more. I shall be melted with it.
I've done. And good sir, comfort me. Would there were
wars now.
Settle your thoughts. Come.
So I have now, friend. Of my deep lamentation, here's an end. Yet there is anger in me that I would fain disperse. And now I think on't. You told me, friend, the provinces are stirring. We shall have sport, I hope, and then... And what's dangerous, a battle shall beat from me.
Why do you eye me with such a settled look?
Pray tell me this. Do we not love extremely? I love you so.
If I should say I love not you as truly, I should do that I never durst do. Lie. Yet you look strangely.
I look but as I am. I am a stranger.
To me?
To everyone. I am no Roman. Nor what I am do I know.
Then I'll leave you.
If you meet with Maximus, pray bid him be an honest man for my sake. You may do much upon him. For his shadow, let me alone.
You are not wont to talk thus, and to your friend. You have some danger in you that willingly would run to action.
Oh, I? Danger? I willing to do anything?
Take heed. By all our love, take heed. I'll tell you, and I must tell you truth. Were it not hazard an almost certain loss of all the empire, I would join with you. Were it any man's but his life, and his life of us, he lost it for doing this mischief. I would take it into your rest, give you a brave revenge. But, as the rule now stands, and as he rules, and as the nations hold in disobedience, one pillar failing, all must fall, I dare not. Nor is it just you should be suffered in it. Therefore, again, take heed, nor let your angry steel cut those you know not. For by this fatal blow, if you dare strike it, as I see great aims in you, those unborn yet, and those to come of them, and those succeeding shall bleed the wrath of Maximus. For me, as you now bear yourself, I am your friend still. If you fall off, I will not flatter you, and in my hands were you my soul, you perish. Once more be careful. Stand and still be worthy.
I'll leave you for this hour.
Pray do.
There's no way else to do it. He must die. This friend must die.
This soul of Maximus, without whom I am nothing but my shame, this perfectness that keeps me from opinion, must die, or I must live thus branded ever. A hard choice. And a fatal. Gods, ye have given me a way to credit, but the ground to go on ye have leveled with that precious life I love most. Yet I must on and through, for if I offer to take my way without him, like a sea, he bears his high command twixt me and vengeance, and in my own road sinks me. Aesius dies, for I have lost myself. Why should I kill him? Why should I kill myself? For 'tis my killing. Aesius is my root, and wither him like a decaying branch I fall to nothing. Is he not more to me than wife, than Caesar? Though I had now my safe revenge upon him, is he not more than honor, and his friendship sweeter than the love of women? And what is honor, though? We also strangely are bewitched withal. Can it relieve me if I want? He has. Can honor, twixt the incensed prince and envy, bear up the lives of worthy men? He has. Can honor pull the wings of fearful cowards and make them turn again like tigers? He has. And I have lived to see this, and preserved so. Why should this empty word incite me then to what is ill and cruel? Oh, let her perish. A friend is more than all the world, than honor. She is a woman and her loss the less. And with her go my griefs. But hark you, Maximus. Was she not yours? Did she not die to tell you she was a ravished woman? And shall he live that did it? Is not this certain? Was not she a chaste one? And such a one that no compare dwelt with her. One of so sweet a virtue that Aeetius, even he himself, this friend that holds me from it, out of his worthy love to me and justice, had it not been on Caesar, had revenged her. By heaven, he told me so. Ah, what shall I do then? Is there no way without him to come near it? For out of honesty, he must destroy me if I attempt it. He must die, as others, and I must lose him. It is necessity. I have found a way to do it, and a safe one. It shall be honor to him, too. Oh, I know not what to determine, certain. I'm so troubled. And such a deal of conscience presses me. Would I were dead myself.
Dead? Is she dead? Lucina dead?
So it is thought, sir. How?
Grief and disgrace, as people say.
No more. I have too much on t- too much by you, you whetters of my follies, ye angel formers of my sins, but devils. Where is your cunning now? You would work wonders. There was no chastity above your practice. You would undertake to make her love her wrongs and dote upon her rape. Mark what I tell you. If she be dead,
alas,
hang you rascals, you blasters of my youth. If she be gone, 'twere better you had been your father's camels, groaned under daily weights of wood and water. Am I not Caesar?
Mighty and our maker.
Than thus have given my pleasures to destruction. Look, she be living. Slaves.
We are no gods, sir, if she be dead, to make her live again.
All women are not dead with her.
A common whore serves you, and far above you, the pleasures of a body lamed with lewdness. A mere perpetual motion makes you happy. Am I a man to traffic with diseases? Can any but a chastity serve Caesar? And such a one the gods would kneel to purchase. Was there but one of all the world that could content me and snatched away in showing? If your wives be not yet witches, or yourselves, now be so, and save your lives. Raise me this noble beauty, as when I forced her full of chastity. Or by the gods...
Most sacred Caesar.
Huh? Oh, good Proculus, what sayst thou? Is she not dead?
Not anyone I know, sir. I come to bring your grace a letter here. It may concern the Empire, may bear danger in it.
Danger? Where? Double our guard.
Nay, nowhere but in the letter.
What an afflicted conscience do I live with. To whom is this letter addressed?
'Tis sent to Maximus.
The name Maximus runs through me like a fever. Give me the letter. So, and get ye gone. Wait for me in the garden. Guard the house well. And keep this from the Empress.
We will, your grace. Licinius, Kylax, come.
Long life to Caesar.
Life to Caesar.
What a beast I am grown. I had forgotten to ask heaven mercy for my fault and was now even ravishing again her memory. I find there must be danger in this deed. This letter may betray me, sent to Maximus. Now, break the wax. What's this? Lord Maximus, you love Aesius and are his noble friend, too. Bid him be less. I mean less with the people. Persuade him. He is lost else. Though ambition be the last sin Aesius touches at, yet what the people, mad with loving him, and as they willingly desire another, may tempt him to, is to be doubted mainly. You shall know me when Rome is fair again. Till when, I love you. No name. This may be cunning, yet it seems not, for there is nothing in it but is certain besides my safety. I must seek safety. Who waits without there?
Your Grace.
Call Proculus hither.
I will, Your Grace.
I find this letter true. Did Aesius not tell me, as if he had intent to make me odious, and to my face, and by way of terror, what vices I was grounded in, and almost proclaimed the soldier's hate against me? He's dangerous, though he be good, and though a friend, a feared one. Such I must not sleep by.
Life to Caesar.
Is Lord Aesius waiting?
Not this morning.
Go unto him and bid him straight attend me. And do you hear, what soldier is the same? I have seen him often, that keeps you company, Proculus.
Me, sir?
Aye, you, sir.
One they call Pontius, and please your grace.
A captain?
Yes, he was so, but speaking something roughly in his wont, especially of wars, the noble general, Aesius, out of a strict allegiance, cast his fortunes.
Has been a valiant fellow?
So he is still.
Alas, the general might have pardoned follies. He wants preferment, as I take it.
Yes, sir. And for that noble grace, his life shall serve.
I have a service for him. Hark you, Proculus. I have a fearful darkness in my soul. And till I be delivered, still am dying.
My way has taken. All the courts in guard and every corner full of the strangest whispers. I, Maximus, am least in rumor, and so I'll keep myself. Ah, here comes Aesius. I see the bait is swallowed.
Why, how now, friend? What make you here unarmed?
Are you turned merchant?
By your fair persuasions. And such a merchant traffics without danger. I have forgotten all, Aesius, and which is more, forgiven.
Now, I love you. Truly, I do. You are a worthy Roman.
Oh, the fair repentance of my prince to me is more than sacrifice of blood and vengeance.
Virtuous friend, the gods make poor Aesius worthy of thee.
Only in me you're poor, sir. And I worthy only in being yours. Oh, and now I think on better, you shall back.
Back? Why, Maximus, the emperor commands me come.
I like not at this time his command.
I do at all times, and at all times will obey it. Why not now, then?
I'll tell you why, and as I have been governed, be you so, noble friend. The court's in guard, armed strongly. For what purpose let me fear? I do not like your going.
Were it fire, and that fire certain to consume this body. If Caesar sent, I would go. Never fear, man. If he take me, he takes his arms away. I'm too plain and true to be suspected.
Go on, then, and I'll go with you.
No, you may not, friend.
He cannot be a friend, bars me, Aesius. Shall I forsake you in my doubts?
You must.
I must not. No, I will not.
There's no death, no danger in my going. Yet I am commanded, none shall come. At supper I'll meet you, and we'll drink a cup or two. You need good wine, you have been sad. Farewell.
Farewell, my noble friend. Let me embrace you ere you depart. It may be one of us shall never do the like again.
Oh, yes, often.
Farewell, good, dear Aesius.
Farewell, Maximus. Till night. Indeed, you doubt too much.
I do not.
Go, worthy innocent, and make the number of Caesar's sins so great, heaven may want mercy. I'll hover hereabout to know what passes. And if he be so devilish to destroy thee, in thy blood shall begin his tragedy.
Who comes at me with sword drawn?
Art thou not Captain Pontius?
I am the same you cast, Aesius, and in the face of all the camp, disgraced.
Is it revenge provokes thee, or art thou hired to kill me?
Both.
Then do it.
Is that all?
Yes.
Would you not live?
Why should I? To thank thee for my life?
Yes, if I spare it.
Be not deceived. I was not made to thank for any courtesy but killing me, a fellow of thy fortune. Do thy duty.
Do not you fear me?
No.
Nor love me for it?
That's as thou dost thy business.
When you are dead, your place is mine, Aesius.
Now I fear thee. And not alone thee, Pontius, but the Empire.
Why, I can govern, sir.
Why would thou couldst and first thyself? Thou canst fight well and bravely. Thou canst endure all dangers, heats, colds, hungers. Heaven's angry flashes are not suddener than I have seen thee execute, nor more mortal. The winged feet of flying enemies I have stood and viewed thee mow like rushes and still kill the killer. Were thy mind but half so sweet in peace as rough in dangers, I died to leave a happier behind me. Come, strike, and be a general.
Prepare, then. And for I see your honor cannot lessen. And 'twere a shame for me to strike a dead man. Fight your short span out.
No, thou knowest I must not. I dare not give thee so much vantage of me as disobedience.
Dare you not defend you against your enemy?
Not sent from Caesar. I have no power to make such enemy.
Then have at you. And look upon me. And be sure you fear not. Remember who you are and why you live and what I have been to you. Cry not hold, nor think it base injustice I should kill you.
I am prepared for all.
For now, Aesius, thou shalt behold and find I was no traitor. And as I do it, bless me. Die as I do, for I kill myself.
Thou hast deceived me, Pontius, and I thank thee. By all my hopes in heaven, thou art a Roman. The gods shall find thee one. Thou hast fashioned death in such an excellent and beauteous manner, I wonder men can live. Now, Aesius, see what thou darest thyself. Hold, my good sword. Thou hast been kept from blood too long. I'll kiss thee. Do men fear this? That posterity could learn from him but this that loves his wound. There is no pain at all in dying well, nor none are lost but those that make the hell.
He is dead. Draw in the guard again. O Lord Maximus, this was your worthy friend.
Aesius, the gods forgive me. Think not the worst, my friend, I shed not tears. Great griefs lament within. But I am destined to a mighty action, and beg my pardon, friend. I will not be long from thee, my vengeance taken.
sicker and sicker, Procurus.
Oh, Kylax, the Emperor sick, what shall become of us? Would we have died with good Aesius and made too lame for justice?
Oh, friends, the Emperor.
Licinius, what say the doctors?
Horasimus, sad saying. He is poisoned.
Poisoned?
Beyond all cure, too.
Who?
Some say that it was Maximus.
How do they know it?
He gave him drink last.
See where they bring him hither in a chair.
Eudoxia, his empress, is with him.
Now the soft music. Now let one sing to fasten sleep upon him.
Care, charming sleep, thou easer of all woes, brother to death, sweetly thyself dispose on this afflicted prince. Fall like a cloud in gentle showers, give nothing that is loud or painful to his slumbers. Easy, light, and as a purling stream, thou, son of night, pass by his troubled senses, sing his pain like hollow murmuring wind or silver rain into this prince gently. Oh, gently slide and kiss him into slumber, like a bride.
Oh, gods, gods.
Good sir,
my lord.
Drink, drink. Colder, colder than snow on Scythian mountains. Oh, my heart strings.
How does your grace?
The Empress speaks, sir.
Dying. Dying, Eudoxia. Dying.
Good sir, patience.
What have the physicians given him?
Precious things, dear lady, they hope shall comfort him.
Oh, flattered fool. See what thy godhead's come to. Oh, Eudoxia.
Oh, patience, patience, sir.
Danubius I'll have brought through my body.
Gods give comfort.
And Volga, on whose face the north wind freezes. I am 100 hells. Shall I not drink?
You must not, sir.
By heaven, I'll let my breath out that shall burn ye all if ye deny me longer.
Dear sir.
A thousand fans to cool me. Invite the gentle winds, Eudoxia.
Sir.
Am I immortal now, ye slaves? Oh, do not flatter me. I am but flesh. What can your doses now do? And your scrapings, your oils and Mithridates? Hide me, mountains. The gods have found my sins. Now break. My brains are ashes. Now my heart, my eyes. I am mortal.
Come
the sluice of blood have I let open. My happy ends are come to birth. He's dead and I, Maximus, revenged. Now the Empire's all afire and desolation everywhere inhabits. The soldiers are in arms for Great Aetius and their lieutenant general that stopped them cut in 1,000 pieces. And they march hither. This great end of my vengeance may grow greater. Why may not I be Caesar? Why should not I catch at it? Fools and children have had that strength before me and obtained it. And as the danger stands, my reason bids me, I will, I dare. I'm sure the soldiers love me, and the people and I will forward. And as goodly cedars rent from Oeta by a sweeping tempest jointed again, and made tall masts defy those angry winds that split them, so will I new peace again above the fate of women, and made more perfect far than growing private, stand and defy bad fortunes. If I rise, my wife was ravished well. If then I fall, my great attempt honors my funeral.
Guard all the posterns to the camp, Afranius, and see them fast. We shall be rifled else. Noble Afranius, thou art an honest and a worthy captain.
Worthy to do your biddings, noble senators.
Promise the soldiers anything.
Speak gently, and tell them we are now in council for them, laboring to choose a Caesar fit for them, a soldier and a giver.
Tell them further, their free and liberal voices shall go with us.
Nay more, a negative say we allow them.
And if our choice displease them, they shall name him.
Promise them donatives and large, Afranius.
And equal portions of the provinces to them and to their families forever.
And see the city strengthened.
I shall do it, noble senators. I shall do it.
Oh, Sempronius. These are woeful times.
Woeful indeed, good Fulvius. These Caesars that noble consuls got with blood, in blood consume again and scatter. Which way shall we?
Not any way of safety I can think on.
Let's to the temple.
To the capital. 'Tis not a time to pray now. Let's be strengthened.
Caesar!
How now, Afranius? What good news?
Caesar!
Oh, who?
Caesar. Lord Maximus is with the soldiers. And all the camp rings, Caesar, Caesar, Caesar.
He forced the Empress with him for more honor.
Oh, a happy choice. Let's meet him.
Blessed fortune.
Away, away.
Hail, Caesar Maximus.
Hail, Caesar Maximus. O turning people. O people excellent in war and governed. In peace, more raging than the furious north when he ploughs up the sea and makes him brine, or the loud falls of Nile. I must give way, although I neither love nor hope at this, or like a rotten bridge that dares a current when he is swelled and high, crack and farewell. Hail, Caesar Maximus.
Your hand, Afranius, lead to the palace. There my thanks in general I'll shower among ye all. Gods, give me life, first to defend the empire, then you, fathers, and valiant friends, the heirs of strength and virtue, the ramparts of old Rome, of us the refuge. To you I open this day all I have. Even all the hazard that my youth hath purchased. Ye are my children, family and friends, and ever so respected shall be. There's a proscription, grave Sempronius, against all the flatterers and lazy bawds led loose-lived Valentinian to his vices. See it effected.
Honor wait on Caesar.
Forward!
Make room for Caesar there!
Caesar Maximus, thou hast my fears, but Valentinian keeps my vows. Oh, gods! Why do we like to feed the greedy ravening of these blown men that must, before they stand and fixed in eminence, cast life on life and trench their safeties in with wounds on bodies? Well, froward Rome, thou wilt grow weak with changing and die without an heir that loves to breed sons for the killing hate of sons. For me, I only live to find an enemy.
Come, my best loved Eudoxia. Oh, my dear sweet.
Is it possible Caesar Maximus should undertake such dangers for my beauty? If it were excellent.
By heaven, 'tis all the world has left to brag of.
Can a face long since bequeathed to wrinkles with my sorrows have power to make the strongest man of the empire lose such a noble wife? And willfully? Himself prepare the way. Nay, make the rape. Did you not tell me so?
'Tis true, Eudoxia.
Lay desolate his dearest piece of friendship. Nay, more, arrive at Caesar and kill him too. And for my sake. Either you love too dearly, or deeply you dissemble, sir.
Can these things be, Eudoxia, and I dissemble?
What love, sir, can I return for this but my obedience? And in token as emperor this day I honor you, this wreath of living laurel that must compass that sacred head Eudoxia makes for Caesar.
The Senate waits, your grace.
Let them come on, and in a full form bring the ceremony. This day I am your servant, dear Eudoxia. And proudly I will wear that wreath of laurel you make for me, your honored face.
May it prove so, as on your brows I bind it.
Hail to thy imperial honor, sacred Caesar. Thy sacred head bound by the wreath of living laurel, stand to eternity.
Stand to eternity.
I thank ye, fathers of the Roman Senate. And as I roll, may this wreath grow or wither. And now to the banquet. Ye are all my guests. This day be liberal, friends. To wine we give it, and smiling pleasures. Sit, my queen of beauty. Fathers, your places. And these are fair war soldiers. Drink! Give me a mazer. And thus I drink the first charge to ye all.
God lay us ever young, ever honored.
I add unto the Senate a new honor, and to the sons of Mars a dolorous.
Oh, the emperor, grown heavy with his wine, falls back upon his couch.
The Senate stays, sir, for your thanks.
Great Caesar!
I have my wish.
Will it please your grace speak to him?
Yes, but he will not hear, Lord.
Sir him, Fulvius, the Senate must have thanks.
Your grace, sir, Caesar.
Did I not tell you he was well? He is dead.
Dead? Treason!
Treason!
Guard the court, let no man pass.
Let no man pass!
Soldiers, your Caesar's murdered.
Make no tumult, nor arm the court. Ye have his killer with ye.
stand the just cause, if he can stay the hearing. I was his death. That wreath that made him Caesar has made him earth.
Cut her in 1,000 pieces!
Wise men would know the reason first. To die is that I wish for, Romans, and your swords the easiest way of death. Yet, soldiers, grant me that was your empress once and honored by ye, but so much time to tell you why I killed him. And weigh my reasons well, if man be in you. Then, if ye dare do cruelly, condemn me.
Hear her, you noble Romans! 'Tis a woman, a subject not for swords, but pity. Speak, Eudoxia.
Yes. This Maximus, that was your Caesar, lords and noble soldiers, was to his country, to his friends and Caesar, a most malicious traitor.
Take heed, woman.
I speak not for compassion. Brave Aesius, this friend of his, this soldier, this your right arm, noble Romans, by a base letter to the emperor, stuffed full of fears and poor suggestions, was cut off basely, basely, cruelly. And the poor stale, my noble lord, that knew not more of this villain than his forced fears, died for it. There was a murder too Rome would have blushed at. Nay, his wife, Lucina, by heaven he told it me in wine and joy and swore it deeply. He himself prepared her to be abused, and his end was only me and Caesar. But me he lied in. These are my reasons, Romans, and my soul tells me sufficient. Now, as I have done well or ill, look on me.
Romans, bend all your swords on me if this displease you, for I must kneel, and on this virtuous hand seal my new joy and thanks. Eudoxia, Empress, thou hast done truly.
Romans, up with your arms. Sound a dead march.
Rome yet has many noble heirs. Let's in and pray before we choose. Then plant a Caesar above the reach of envy, blood, and murder.
That ends The Tragedy of Valentinian by John Fletcher. The part of Maximus was played by Howard Marion Crawford, Aesius by Francis de Wolfe, Lucina by Jane Corbould, and Valentinian by Anthony Jacobs. The music by Christopher Whelan was sung by John Mitchinson, tenor, with the Ambrosian singers and orchestra conducted by the composer. The play was edited and produced for BBC World Theatre by Raymond Rakes.